I'm on. Well, I like what he said right at the beginning.
Yeah, that was the extent. They didn't get into can you lose it, can you not? As
no.
As long as you're there.
Yep.
A basis to sit down and have a couple
of yeah. Yep, absolutely. It's a good place to start any conversation. We believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and rose again. And he's going to come again, whether it's Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. He's going to rise again Sunday. He's going to rise again.
Did you see Cameron Thomas's face when you said that definitely the rapture is going to occur during their time frame? I mean, during their life?
Did I say definitely? Oh, I didn't mean to say definitely.
It was
all right.
It was an absolute.
Okay. I didn't hear. Oh, great. Well, when you're, what is he, 16? When you're 17, you say, when you're 70, oh, please, do it now. Oh, that's funny. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to say definitely because I don't believe that. Anybody knows that. So, no. Yeah. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. And Kent, why don't you start us in prayer?
Thank you, Father, for the freedoms we have. Thank you for the time we have to meet and talk about your word. We ask that you guide us
Okay, let's talk about the flow of the books of the Old Testament in historical order. Each of you have a copy, correct? I'd like you to spend a few minutes this week in your spare time, and all of you have spare time. Just kind of start going over it. See if there's anything needs to be straightened out, added, deleted, anything like that. Because I'm going to pass this out for our study in Daniel. And so I need to have it down in decent order. Not publication order, but at least decent order. And so as you read through, please do that. Yeah, now I've got those changed. Zeke or Daniel, I've changed their order. That's good. So just as you're reading through, if you come across anything else. Okay, Job. Genesis. Exodus. Leviticus,
holiness,
Numbers,
testing,
Deuteronomy,
the law,
Joshua,
faith,
Judges,
what?
Yeah, Ruth,
redemption,
and First Sam,
Judges
to King, Second Sam,
King.
All right. Psalms,
Song, Book of the Kingdom.
Proverbs,
God,
Song of Solomon.
Yeah.
What is it?
Love
yeah, God's love story to Israel. Ecclesiastes,
yeah,
First Kings, Solomon's reign. Second Kings. Northern Kingdom from Solomon down to its fall. When was the fall of the Southern Kingdom? Or Northern Kingdom? 722. First Chronicles? Second Chronicles? And the date of its fall? 586. Obadiah. Joel. Yes. Amos, going down to the Northern Kingdom now. Okay. And Joel, excuse me, Hosea. And then Jonah. Salvation for Nineveh, lesson to Jonah. Lesson for all of us. I will go back to the Southern Kingdom. Who's the first prophet, major prophet of the Southern Kingdom after the Jonah? Isaiah. And what basically? Yeah, very good. I already loved Isaiah. I studied it, most of it. And but I really enjoyed getting back into it in Daniel. Okay, Micah. And coming Messiah. Coming of Messiah. And then Nahum.
Fall of Nineveh.
And that's, boy, they, all these right now are right in what I'm looking at Daniel. Jeremiah. What judgment? Huh?
The fall of Babylon.
Babylonian captivity. And Lamentations. Whose lament?
God's
and Jeremiah's. Zephaniah. Morning coming judgment. Yeah, coming Messiah. But there's a brief revival, and then it went back to its old ways. And then one of my favorite books, Habakkuk. Long and wide. And now, in place of Ezekiel, let's go to Daniel. Daniel.
Prophecy of the Gentiles of the Gentiles.
And then Ezekiel.
Purpose of divine discipline.
That's very good. And you can know that their God is God. Their God is Jehovah. Let's see. All right, now the next two deal with the return.
Haggai,
Zechariah, Haggai. Okay. Zechariah. Promise of the Messiah. And then we got one that's out of bounds here. Esther.
Divine Providence.
Then we got two books on returning. Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra and Nehemiah. Right, what's Ezra? Political restoration. Nehemiah? No, excuse me. Ezra's.
Ezra is political. No, spiritual.
Ezra is spiritual. Nehemiah is political. Ezra, Nehemiah. And we close with Malachi. And what's kind of the message of Malachi? Yeah. Okay. Since Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament written, what's the approximate date?
400 BC.
Pick between those two and you'll hit it. 425. Oh, you got it! Okay, that's good. And, all right, now we're ready to get back to work. And I love we're doing this. I love I'm doing it. I wish I'd have done this 40 years ago. Okay, we are in Acts. Is that correct? Are we completely through with John? Everybody's done their paper and things on John. Well, I hate leaving John. I get the shakes, but okay. If the Lord tarries with me, I don't know what I'll do if I ever finish the book of John. I might be ready to retire. Good grief. Okay, book of Acts. And let's see. Have we read NIV's outline of Acts? Okay, let's start there. Kid and I met yesterday, and boy, he really likes Acts, and I like the way he worded it. I hope I'm not violating your privacy, but access, or Kit says, boy, I just wish I had all my bills paid off. I'd retire right now just so I could study all this stuff. And, man, I understand. I understand. And Acts. You know, there's... That was what? You know, I've been in the ministry 37, 38 years. And I'm not saying anything out of class. I told you the same thing. I've been married now 3 years, going on four. And I sure see God call beckons to stay single. There are just so many... Not, and I hate to use the word interruptions because I love them, but they're just things that are time consuming. When you got a wife, you got children, you got grandchildren, you got, that I've never had to have. I could spend all day and night going there whenever I wanted and study. And that's why I used to be able to teach Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then 3 6 classes a week. And I would have never been able to do that now. Never. And so there's some real reason. And I've met guys in seminary who dropped out of seminary because they're married and had responsibilities, weren't able to go even to enter a seminary because they were married and children. And it does change. Sound like a profound statement, but it is for me, not for y'all. It is something to be married. It's time consuming. And that's all there is to it. And if I... Do what? Do what?
They have a lot to say.
Oh! 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 Before I married... What happened with this that it went off? What happened? Oh, that is. All right. Okay. Let's see. Kid, why don't you read author? The author of Acts, which is really interesting.
Thank you.
question. Does it really matter? No. We suppose it was Luke. It's good enough. If God wanted us to know exactly, He'd have put it down exactly. And I tell you, I feel so comfortable. Way back years ago, dogmatic, everything. I'm just very relaxed. And we don't know. Big deal. We're not told specifically, so God didn't want us to know specifically. It's all right if we assume it's Luke, but if we get to heaven, it turns out it was, you know, somebody else. That's fine. So, okay, Brian, why don't you read date? Okay, Brian, why don't you read Acts 1:8? Holy Ghost. Let's talk about the deity. If we choose the early date, did it mean that it just stopped? No real rhyme or reason. In other words, that's all God wanted him to say, and that was the end of it. Just go along in the middle of something, just stop. What I'm saying here is, I think, if we think through, outside of some of us writing early papers, how many of us would just, okay, I'm through. I've gotten my 3 pages done. That the teacher asked for our 3-page report. I got my 3 pages done and I stopped. Or is it with some kind of design and purpose, which is what the later date is saying, that it fulfilled its purpose of spreading to those areas. And once it spread to those areas, because let's face it, he could have gone on and on with Acts. He could have gone on to John in Revelation on the island of Patmos. He could have told a lot more. Especially about Paul, but he didn't. Just, there you go. And let's look at the last chapter of Acts.
Sometimes the sudden stop adds emphasis in and of itself. You know what I mean? I mean, when you
Yeah.
Conclusion.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. With that in mind, what's the last thing he talks about in Acts? Well, according to this outline, Paul preaches it to Rome under guard. But he doesn't tell us the outcome of the court, the outcome of the trial of Paul, and Brian, read the last verse in Acts.
Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him.
Okay. So, preaching, read it again, how you have your translation.
Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And go back to 1:8, that it would be spread. The teaching of Jesus Christ would be spread. So, you know, it doesn't really, it's, it don't have anything. I'm just saying I can see the consistency and something, purpose consistency. But like you said, maybe it just stopped on purpose like that and on the early date. But that'll be something for y'all to fight about when you don't want to fight about the rapture or something else that's going on. You can fight about that. Okay, Chris, won't you read recipient and read importance and theme?
The recipient of the book, Theophilus, is the same person addressed in the first volume of the Gospel of Luke. The importance. The book of Acts provides a bridge for the writings of the New Testament.
What did you get with the recipient? What'd you say?
The recipient of the book.
Yeah. Theophilus, okay. 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 No, just go ahead. Now, importance.
Okay, the importance. The book of Acts provides a bridge for the writings of the New Testament. As a second volume to Luke's Gospel, it joins what Jesus, quote, began to do and to teach, 1:1, as told in the Gospel, with what he continued to do and teach through the apostles' preaching and the establishment of the church. Besides linking the gospel narratives on the one hand and the apostolic letters on the other, it supplies an account of the life of Paul from which we can learn the setting for his letters. Geographically, its story spans the lands between Jerusalem, where the church began, and Rome, the political center of the empire. Historically, it recounts the first 30 years of the church. It is also a bridge that ties the church in its beginning with each succeeding age. This book may be studied to gain an understanding of the principles that ought to govern the church of any age.
Read your last sentence again.
This book may be studied to gain an understanding of the principles that ought to govern the church of any age. That's a tough statement.
Mine says the book reveals the potential of the church.
That's what mine says. Yeah. This book. Oh, I had you read that and go through it because Dr. Pentecost was very adamant that we do not build doctrines out of the book of Acts. And you build history, not doctrines. And it'd be very dangerous building doctrines out of it, as I'm sure you've been aware of in your reading of it. Okay, Chris, read theme and purpose. You use your old book.
Theme
purpose. The theme of the work is best summarized in 1:8, which we already read. It was ordinary procedure for a historian at this time to begin a second volume by summarizing the first volume and indicating the contents anticipated in the second volume. Luke summarizes first volume in 1:1-3. The theme of his second volume is presented in the words of Jesus. Quote, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Unquote. This is, in effect, an outline of the book of Acts. See additional stuff over here. The main purposes of the book appear to be, number one, to present a history. The significance of Acts as a historical account of Christian origins cannot be overestimated. It tells of the founding of the church, the spread of the gospel, the beginnings of congregations and evangelistic efforts in the apostolic pattern. One of the unique aspects of Christianity is its firm historical foundation. The life and teaching of Jesus Christ are established in the four gospel narratives, and the book of Acts provides a coordinated account of the beginnings of the church. Number two, to give a defense. One finds embedded in Acts a record of Christian defenses made to both Jews and Gentiles, with the underlying purpose of conversion. It shows how the early church coped with pagan and Jewish thought, the Roman government, and Hellenistic society. Luke probably wrote this work as Paul awaited trial in Rome. If his case came to court, what better court brief could Paul have had than a life of Jesus, a history of the beginnings of the church, including the activity of Paul, and an early collection of Paul's letters? Number three is to provide a guide. Luke had no way of knowing how long the church would continue on this earth, but as long as it pursues its course, the book of Acts will be one of its major guides. In Acts, we see basic principles being applied to specific situations in the context of problems and persecutions. These same principles continue to be applicable until Christ returns. Are we all online? Okay. The fourth is to depict the triumph of Christianity in the face of bitter persecution. The success of the church in carrying the gospel from Jerusalem to Rome and in planting local churches across the Roman Empire demonstrated that Christianity was not a mere work of man. God was in it.
Okay, let's go back to number three. Let's see, the book serves as a guide. I don't know how many of you've read and book, but let's just take some of the things. Like, for an example, partaking of communion in Acts. Anything strike you as peculiar? Well, look at it. It's an open book. Chapters 3 and 4. Okay, let's see if I can kind of help you with what I'm looking for. Okay, I'm sorry, it's 2. Look at 2:42. The end of chapter 2. This is very interesting. Kit, why don't you read 2:42?
They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer.
Okay. As you read through the early part of Acts, it's a breaking of bread. Only rarely does it mention the cup. Now, the debate is, does breaking of bread mean and cup? Or does it just a breaking of bread? And also, and I'm keying off of what he's talked about it being a guide. And it is a guide. But does it kind of give you an idea how often they broke bread? Give you an idea of how often they had the cup? Those are the kinds of things that set as guides to how the church should work. When did they meet? How often did they meet? those kinds of things. We look for guides in the book of Acts and try to build some kind of structure of the early church. What did it look like? Example, where did they meet? Homes. They met in homes.
So if we continue to read, if we read the rest of that paragraph, yeah.
Go ahead.
So let me just read the rest of it. So it says, backing up to 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. We don't have a whole lot of miraculous signs.
We don't have apostles either. Nope.
Selling the possessions and goods they gave to anyone who has need. Nothing wrong with that, but I mean, you can turn that into a...
Yep. Yep.
Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together, so they met in the temple courts. Right? Every
yep.
day.
Yep.
And then they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved.
Yep, and you could have a just a everything common just from that.
It's for the, you know, take as needed, give as
yeah,
unable.
As you have, yeah, as able, yeah. Yeah, well, and I understand what he's saying. And that's my whole point of talking about this. How much are we bound by the book of Acts on all these things? And they met daily, not Sunday, not Saturday, daily. And then they would meet at night. So they virtually met twice a week. But you go through here, and it seems like there was another... No. Well, wait a minute. I take that back. They were the apostles' teaching. So it would be like, well, like Kit and I were talking yesterday. How did you explain that? Somebody get a letter? I like the way you word it. Oh, look, I got a letter. I got a letter. And they would all sit around and read it. And then it said, let me copy it, and I'll give it to the church down the road. And that kind of stuff. So as the letters of the apostles to the church came, they did. They read, of course, the Old Testament, but also started reading the letters of the apostles. Yeah. Well, we speculate either Paul's Galatians or James was the first to be written. As a yeah. So, you know, probably the apostles of the Old Testament and stuff. Let's see. It seemed like they had... Let's see. I'm looking at chapter 4. Well, like at the end of chapter... no, not the end, but chapter, verse 31 of chapter 4, after they prayed, the place where they met. So it's probably a home. It didn't have to be a home, but wherever they met. And believers share their possessions. Ananias and Sapphira, apostles healing, okay, let me ask you, from Acts and other places, I'm not asking you now because this is an unfair question, you hadn't had time, but sometimes you're reading through, do we have validation in that only men have the gift of pastor-teacher? And by the way, I think we do. But do we have validation that the church has only male deacons? And there are deaconesses mentioned in Acts. Can a woman be a deacon? And I remember I was on the ordination committee in Houston that ordained Bob Thiem's son. And came my turn for a question, and I said, I did it on purpose. I said, this question's for Bobby. I said, Bobby, do you feel like women can be deaconesses in a church? And Bob goes, be careful, Bobby, your mother's here. And he rambled for about 10 minutes and really didn't say. And these are the kinds of government issues that come up. Plurality of elders, single pastor teacher, money. I contend very adamantly that the American church is because of the tax structure in America. It has nothing to do with the Bible. And these are the kinds of things that you get. And then you start moving into where you have a pope. Where is that biblically supported? We can't just say it's wrong. We've got to show biblically that it's wrong. We've got to understand ecclesiology, the development of the church, authority of the church, the setup of a church. Is there a, this is a good question, is there even a dogmatic structure? Meaning that if you're in a, like in some wartime, and there's just a group of you in a community, does that mean you can't have a church because you don't have a certain structure? Or can you have an assembly of believers according to the word, pastor and study and teach, who can serve the elements? Some churches contend only ordained ministers can serve. Others contend only men can serve. I haven't been brave enough, but someday I'm going to have women serve just to have fun. But so you're dealing with, what is your theology on church structure, and how much can we depend on Acts? How much can we go to Acts? Because all these things are in battle. The priority of elders is a big battle. Big battle. And among a lot of people. And so you got and then the function of a deacon, where's the place of a deacon, and the pastor, and just goes on and on. How that comes about. And I personally believe that there's a lot of liberty in the guidance of the Spirit as to what's needed when it's needed. I think there'll be in some structures where, just to make my point, the pastor has to do a lot more than just study and teach. There'll be some environment structures where that's wonderful. That's all he has to do. And deacons and what they do, and where you meet. Can you meet in a home? Can you meet in a building? Can you meet in a barn out in the woods? And it'd be a church. So I'm just throwing these out for you as you go through Acts. Bear in mind your ecclesiology, your church, your understanding of church government. And which are you able to support? Or which are you just able, not able to support, but just say that the way they're doing it is wrong because of this. And like the Roman church. So these are the things you want to watch for as you read through Acts in building your ecclesiology. Historically, it's just been developed in different ways by different groups. So that's that. Okay, let's go back to the sitting here, Acts. What did you read last? Theme and Purpose? Or was that you that read Theme and Purpose? Huh? You read Arthur? Okay. Why don't you read Characteristics, Kip? He's a very bright man. Very bright. Not only did he know these languages, he had the ability of discerning when was the best time to use different languages, different sayings, different things. If it is Luke, whoever it is, brilliant person. Go ahead now, number three. I'd love to hear him summarize Romans 5. See, I would. I see what Luke would have done with that under the power of the Holy Spirit. My goodness. Okay, the next one is plan and outline. And so let's go to Mark. Let's go to Mark. Uh, 28 chapters, three major divisions. Chris, what are the three major divisions?
Three major divisions, chapters 1 through 7, the church is founded, Pentecost, and then chapters 8 through 12, the church is forced out, focuses on Peter, and chapters 13 through 28, the church is free and the world focuses on Paul.
Okay. Read what he has to say under Pentecost.
Deacons, stoning of Stephen, and scattering of the church.
Okay, Peter.
Peter, it's Philip's spread of the gospel, Paul's conversion, Peter's vision, the gospel to the Gentiles, the church at Antioch, the Christians, Peter freed from jail, Paul and Barnabas returned to Antioch. So Paul, the last one, Paul and Barnabas set apart the first missionary journey, Jerusalem Council. Second missionary journey, Philippi and Athens. Third missionary journey, Corinth and Ephesus. Paul's arrest in Jerusalem. Paul's defense for the Sanhedrin, Felix, Titus, Agrippa, shipwreck, Rome.
Okay. Who told us outlines are useless?
Carson.
Yeah, I need to have that just for fun. I need to have that quote. All right, Brian, take a look at Acts, page 76, and read under Peter, Acts of the Holy Spirit 1. I read Peter, under 8 to 12. Okay, 13 to 28, Paul. Okay, something to be aware of. I expect you to know it right now. Is Paul a Jew? Is Paul a Roman citizen? Okay, what I'm going to ask you to do is find out how we know he's a Roman citizen. Do you know that's up debate? We don't know how he became a Roman citizen. Yeah. Says he's a Roman citizen, but how he became one, we don't know. Both his mother and dad were Jews, and what is suspected, and I mean suspected, is that in the town where he grew up, his father had strong influence. And so maybe his father helped Rome or something, and they gave him some honored citizenship. It just really isn't known why he is a Roman citizen.
Well, you know, it talks about,
thank you for getting my glasses.
Pentecost
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would have thought that if you were a Jew somewhere else, if you were born in that place, that you'd be a natural citizen.
A natural citizen. Well, that isn't true in the Roman Empire. Person born in Galatia, they just didn't automatically become Roman citizens. No. And so it's just interesting discussion. And if any of you run across anything and you're reading, let me know.
And
yeah.
But, you know, you would think, well, if you're a Jew, you would say that just to get out of trouble.
Yeah.
How they took him, they just took him at his word, you know.
Yeah.
It was just a known thing.
But it's just interesting. We don't know how he became a citizen. And the Bible says he's a citizen. And he appeals to Rome because he's a citizen. But how did he become a citizen? For a long time, I thought it was because of his mother, but that's not true. His mother was Jewish. So don't know. Yeah.
That didn't start becoming interpreted that way until late 1930s, 1940s.
Yeah.
FDR era, is my understanding.
Yeah. Is that right? Okay, I didn't know that. Good. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Yeah. So as you're reading, kind of bear that in mind, along with looking at church, government, ecclesiology, and then the citizenship of Paul. Okay, now. Let's see, 77. I guess these are just a recount of things we've already looked at. Church founded at Pentecost. Church forced out. I wonder if Peter has anything with that to do with that. Church freed in the world. Maps, charts. Good stuff. Get an over